Hey, welcome to the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I am your host and teacher, Eddie Hyatt. So glad you joined me today as we continue our exciting journey through the book of Acts, the story of early Christianity. How did those early Christians, without the benefit of modern machinery and technology, no cars to drive, no airplanes to fly in, no emails, no television, no radio, no printing presses, amazing, and yet they impacted the world in which they live. The secret, no question in my mind that we're talking about it in these sessions, was the empowering of the Holy Spirit. For Jesus had said in Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the othermost parts of the earth. I hope that you have just listened to yesterday's episode, because I'm going to build on it today. We were talking about how that Acts 2:1-4, the day of Pentecost, was not just a one-time event. It was the beginning of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, God making His Holy Spirit available, pouring out His Spirit, empowering His church. And He has continued to empower His church with this promised baptism in the Holy Spirit. That in Acts, sometimes it's referred to as the Holy Spirit falling upon people. It's sometimes referred to as people being filled with the Holy Spirit, but it's all talking about this same experience. And we ended yesterday talking about Peter preaching to the Roman centurion Cornelius and his household, Gentiles, and how the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them. And Luke used the word also. And then Peter said that they broke out praising God, speaking in tongues. And Peter then asked, said, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? They received the Holy Spirit just as we have. When did Peter receive the Holy Spirit? On the day of Pentecost. But here, and this is some time later, these Gentiles received it just as we have. And I want you to know that you can receive the Holy Spirit just as they had, as just as they did. And I want to tell you, I could tell you many personal stories, even of myself. Sue could share her personal story. They're all different because we are all different. You know, one thing God does not have is an assembly line. He doesn't have a cookie cutter. He made us all different. We have different personalities, and the Holy Spirit, yes, there's a continuity, there's a sameness, but there's also a uniqueness of His workings through each one of us. But I want to share, and yes, I admit it's a very dramatic one, about a person receiving the Holy Spirit, just like they did on the day of Pentecost. And I'm telling this to encourage you, because if you haven't already, you too can be empowered with this baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this was many years ago in the early days of our marriage and ministry together. We were in St. John, New Brunswick, Canada, and we were planting a new congregation. And I won't go into it's really an exciting story with more than one part to it, but I'm not going to take time to tell you the whole story. I'm just going to go to the heart of what I want you to hear today. God providentially put us, we were needing a place to live. We were planting a new congregation, and we were about to start a Christian school, and we were needing a place to live. And God providentially connected us with a woman who had just gone through a divorce after 20 years of marriage to a billionaire. At that time, her father-in-law was listed as the third wealthiest man in the world. Now, remember, this is back in the about 1979, 1980, somewhere in there. But her father-in-law was listed as the third, Casey Irving, the third wealthiest man in the world with holdings of $8 billion. Well, she had just gone through a divorce after 20 years of marriage. God providentially hooked us up with her, and she was looking for somebody to live in her home. And so Sue and I were needing a place to live. So we met with her, And she turned her house over to us, 8 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms. We did not have to pay any rent. All of the bills were paid. We had a person who came in and cleaned it weekly, twice a week and cleaned it. We had somebody who looked after the grounds. All we had to do was live there. And by the way, God had spoken to me when I was praying about a place to live, because we were starting a Christian school, and we invited a couple to come up and be the administrators of the school. And when they arrived, we turned our apartment over to them and moved out. And we were sort of camping in the upstairs where we were having our church meetings, which was an old construction office building that the construction company had gone out of business, and we had leased their two-story building, and we were living upstairs, but it was very inconvenient. There was no kitchen facilities. There was no bathtub or shower, just a sink and a commode. So we were looking for a place to live, and it was during this time God said, "You've got a house." And of course, I had no idea it would be this kind of situation. But also, not only 8 bedrooms, 5 bathrooms, modern antique furniture, but we had a sauna and a game room in the basement. But you know, as Sue and I have often, as we learn, it's never about houses. It's never about land. It's never about cars. It's always about people. And God had opened that up to us because there was a person he wanted to reach, the woman who owned that house. Well, she had moved to British Columbia, the other side of the continent. We were in Eastern Canada, New Brunswick. She was on the other side of the continent. I think it was 3,500 miles away. Well, she was coming back for a visit, but before she came back, we began to sense that we should move back into our apartment, because the apartment that we had turned over to the couple that was administrating and teaching in our Christian school had started. They had income from the tuitions, and they had decided they wanted to live closer to the school. So they had moved into an apartment and left ours empty. Now, we could have, vacated that apartment and lived in that house, but we began to feel a stirring in our heart that we were to go back to our empty apartment. So this woman was coming back for a visit. And so we agreed to meet together with her while she was there. So we went back to our apartment, and then we scheduled a time to meet with her. So we went, and sitting on her back veranda, she was there, but also her sister-in-law, who was married to another one of these billionaires, was there. And we had heard of this woman. She was a Christian. She went to a Wesleyan church. And when she found out that we were in the ministry, she said, "Oh, I'd like to pray for Joan before she leaves," because she was leaving again to go back to her new home in British Columbia. And so we shared with her that we didn't feel to live in her home anymore. We appreciated the opportunity, but we felt that it was that she should get somebody else. But when her sister-in-law, who had been witnessing her for many years, talking to her about Jesus with no success, when she found that we were ministers, she said, "I would like for us to pray for Joan before we leave." But let me back up just a moment. While we were driving out there for this meeting, I was driving and Sue was sitting over, and she just began to pray gently in tongues. And I could tell it was coming up out of her spirit, but just quietly, gently praying. And I had a sense of what she was praying about. And so I asked her, I said, "What are you praying about?" She said, "I feel like I'm praying for Joan." That was the woman's name who owned that house. I said, "Yes." I said, "I feel that's what you're praying about." So then when we got there and we're sitting on the back veranda overlooking a big, beautiful green lawn, and the sister-in-law, who's a Wesleyan Christian, we're in the ministry, she says, "I would like for us to pray for Joan." And Sue is still feeling the Holy Spirit rising up in her in prayer. It's even getting stronger, rising up out of her spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, he comes to dwell in us, but he is there. He wants to flow out. And so Sue said to her, said, "Yes, we want to pray." She said, "But it's going to come out in tongues." And she said, "Well, that's okay." And so Sue blurted out very strongly, broke out speaking in tongues. And it was a message with interpretation. And it was for the woman who owned this house. So I reached over and took her hand. And I began to speak forth the interpretation, which was a prophetic word for this woman. And as I'm speaking to her, I have my eyes open, looking in her face, and I notice the tears begin to run down her face because it is ministering to her heart. And so when I finished speaking to it, this woman I knew was not what we would call a born-again Christian. She would consider herself a Christian, but she went to church probably on Easter and Christmas. She belonged to a Presbyterian church. And so I knew that I needed to be simple and direct with her. So I said to her, I said, that was God speaking. She said, well, what is he saying? And this was when Sue finished with the tongues. And then when I gave her the interpretation, the tears began to flow. And right at that moment, I felt the power of God manifest as much as I have ever felt him. And I knew he wanted to give this woman this book of Acts, baptism in the Holy Spirit. I also knew she probably didn't know a thing in the world about it. But the first thing is, I knew I needed to lead her in prayer. So I said, would you like to pray a prayer with us, turning your life over to Jesus? So she said, yes. So I led her in prayer, committing her life to Jesus. And then I knew that God wanted to baptize her in the Spirit. So I said to her, and I tried to be simple. I knew she believed the Bible. So I said, you know, in the Bible, after people accepted Jesus, it was normal for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, would you like to be filled with the Holy Spirit? She said, yes. I'm trying to bring her gently into this. So I said, you know, in the Bible, when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, sometimes there were people who laid hands on them and prayed. I said, would you mind if we laid our hands on you and prayed? She said, no, that'll be fine. So then the final thing I wanted to say to her was, I said, you know, in the Bible, when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, it was not unusual for them to speak in a language they didn't know. So when we pray for you and you feel like speaking in another language, please go ahead and do it. She said, okay. We found out later that this woman in the natural spoke five different languages. Well, nonetheless, so we laid our hands on her, and her Wesleyan sister-in-law came over and laid her hands. And oh, I could see the power of God upon her. Her lips were quivering. Her eyelids were fluttering. And the presence of God was manifest so powerfully. But she wasn't breaking through and breaking forth. So after a while, we stopped praying for her. And I said to her, I said, what are you experiencing? She put her hand down around her solar plexus, around her belly, her stomach. And then she brought it up slowly to her neck. And she said, there was something right down here. And it came up to here. She brings her hand up to her neck and she says, it stopped. Well, I knew what that was. Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And I said to her, I said, that's the Holy Spirit. I said, we have asked him to come in and he has come in. I said, but now he wants to flow out. I said, so we're going to pray again. And I said, when you feel that coming up, just open your mouth and let it flow forth. She said, okay. So we laid our hands on her and began praying again. And I tell you, it was amazing. It was like a volcano erupted. She broke forth shouting praises to God, praising God in other tongues. It was incredible. And then she turns to her Wesleyan sister-in-law, who has been witnessing to her for years without any success, and lays hands on her and begins praying for her in other tongues. It was amazing. It was off the charts. And when things kind of settled down a little bit, her Wesleyan sister-in-law looks at her in amazement and says, Joan, you are going like an old Pentecostal. Yeah, she received that promised baptism in the Holy Spirit. Oh, my friends, it's for the church today. If you're listening, it's for you. And I'll talk about in another session about how to receive this baptism, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But get my book, 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity. Get the study guide that goes with it, Revival History. It's an 8.5 by 11 study guide. Powerful stuff that will encourage your faith. And if you would like to give an offering to bless our ministry, Hyatt International Ministries or God's Word to Women, there is a PayPal icon there on our website, eddiehyatt.com. You can do it there, or you can do it through Zelle by using my email, dreddiehyatt.com. Or if you want to send a check, you can find our address there. Contact information is there on our website. And if we can pray for you, pray with you for anything, feel free to let us know and be in touch. And I say, oh God, in the name of Jesus, fill my brother, fill my sister, full and overflowing with your Holy Spirit, I pray, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, God bless you. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.